Good morning, and welcome to our very special city talk today. We have both Mayor Copeland and also Mike Bailey, our city manager, in today. And today is one of those days where you wish you didn't have to talk about some of the things that we have to talk about today. But indeed, we are going to be talking about them. And first of all, I want to make sure that we have everything up and going here so that the folks who are watching us on the stream today can see and hear everything. Gentlemen, we're in strange times, and strange times indeed. And Mayor, I'm going to let you lead off here because we had a conversation just last night about this.
We did. These are strange times. They're times that are changing at a rapid rate. What we knew yesterday may not apply today, and what we know now may not be accurate in an hour. So lots of working together. I think, unfortunately, people sometimes are concerned because they may not see anything happening. In fact, a lot is happening behind the scenes. But the city, and I'm sure everyone, but I can only speak for our city, a lot of effort and meetings and discussions and considerations are taking place before you hear a public announcement. We want to do this, and we want to do it correctly for the best benefit of everyone. And we realize that whatever is decided is not going to suit everyone, and that there will be, I'm calling it dislocation and pain. I haven't thought of a better word, but lots of things going on behind the scenes, and we're moving forward.
Mike Bailey, tonight it's a very special meeting that we're having. Give us a little bit of a prologue as to what we can expect here.
Yes, sir. If I could add to what the mayor mentioned, that not only is that was an excellent point, is that a lot of things are happening that people don't see. I think that also applies to some of the actions that are being taken and the reasons behind them. So we get that question, and we've gotten a lot of questions over the last day. You know, what is the why the need for action now? And I can, and we can get more into it later, but we had some meetings over the weekend, and the mayor's probably already talked about it on the radio, that we spoke to some Bartlesville physicians. We have spoken to the Washington County Health Department, Washington County Emergency Management. I think our greatest concern right now is what they're telling us is that the disease is present before it's obvious. And so the only way to stop the spread is to act before you have it. So for anyone that fears that this might be an overreaction, that's the thing to keep in mind. I think the scariest statistic we heard yesterday. I think the scariest statistic that we heard from the medical professionals yesterday is the fact that patients can have this disease for 14 days. They can be contagious and be asymptomatic, have no symptoms. So I think that's the need for the action. Now, tonight, you mentioned the council meeting. It will be it'll be an interesting council meeting. I just went through and saw the way that we've rearranged the council chambers. We are providing 6 feet of space between chairs. That means that there's not a lot of chairs in that room. It seems like a big room until you try to provide adequate social distancing, but we're taking this very seriously. The council will be spaced out tonight. The public will be spaced out. We're trying to take this very seriously. We're trying to protect everybody's health, but there'll actually be two meetings tonight. So the first one was the one that we'd planned since last, I think we posted it last Thursday. Mm-hmm. And that one's a result of an emergency proclamation from the state election board. They're asking us to delay our election. So that took us, where it takes us taking action in order to do that. So that was the first thing the council was going to consider. Again, over the weekend, as we had these meetings and these discussions and the need for action, I believe that at least the mayor and the vice mayor were present and myself. I think all three of us felt a need for action. And so we called an emergency meeting, and that emergency meeting will immediately follow our special meeting where we're going to cancel the election, delay the election until August. And at that meeting, there's two main items. One item will, the mayor has a proclamation of emergency as provided for by our charter and ordinances. And then there is an ordinance for the council to act on that will implement certain measures designed to limit and slow the spread of the disease.
Okay, so when we come in tonight, be ready to be not near anyone. Don't touch a chair because they're supposed to be where they're supposed to be.
Right.
And get ready for perhaps some heavy news.
Yes, sir.
Unprecedented. None of us have been in this position and hope to never be there again.
Yeah. Now, when we spoke last night, Mr. Mayor, about the possibility of businesses closing, is Is there anything more defined other than what we discussed last night in our phone call?
No, nothing has changed, and it's important for people to understand. What we're discussing, I think perhaps we're discussing it as though it's a foregone conclusion. I certainly anticipate that will be the case, but this is not in effect. Sometimes when news goes out, people say, well, they were open tonight. Well, this hasn't happened yet, so that could very well be. If the council as a whole considers this ordinance that's being put before them, they can accept it, they can amend it, they could reject it. I cannot speak for the rest of the council, but it is my expectation that we will move forward and that what we discussed yesterday, Tom, on the radio interview was that these businesses with people in high density in areas that are non-essential, unfortunately, and it is unfortunate, I do not take this consideration lightly by any means, would be closed or somewhat severely limited.
Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, the number one question we've gotten right now is about other business types. So the ordinance that's available, it's specific. It lists certain business types within there. And I'm hearing, you know, well, what about this business and what about that business? I would encourage everybody to read the ordinance and be as informed as possible. And if you still have questions, feel free to contact us. But no business other than those specifically listed in here are affected. And we tried to be as clear and concise. We spent a lot of time on this. A lot of thought was put into it. This is not boilerplate. For anybody that thinks we took what Tulsa did and copied it, no one has done exactly what we've done, I promise you. And frankly, no city is doing exactly the same thing. We are all looking at each other. We're looking to our own experts, and we're acting. At this point in time, there is no statewide action as far as what should be done. So we are left in a situation where we're going to consult with medical professionals and experts in the field and take actions that, frankly, that they advise us.
Well, Mr. Mayor, you spoke to me last night saying that's what's been happening so far. You and Mike, I guess, have been ad nauseum talking with
Mike
the pros.
Mr. Bailey and I have spent a lot of time together.
We're very close this weekend.
Yeah. I may claim him on my income tax. no, seriously. We have always had an excellent working relationship with all of the other governmental entities, but I have to tell you, Tom, the last days and weeks, that has amped up. Already this morning, and it's 9:39, I have had personal discussions with other mayors, state representatives from our state delegation, with these discussions of what are you doing, why, when, how, what do you need from us. The response from everything from pastors to civic leaders have been amazing. It's what do you need? How can we help? What do we need to do? I got a call this morning. Do you need more masks? Do you need things? And I said, oh, yeah,
yes,
we do.
The answer is always yes.
Now, to chase a rabbit here for just a moment, we will be working, and part of the proclamation that I plan to issue tonight at the council meeting will create a system or put into place a system, activate a system, I suppose is the best word, that our emergency operations director, Mr. Kerry Cox, will be directed to essentially facilitate between all of our agencies. And that will include trying to get the very best supplies. I'm learning a lot of new letters this week in government, PPE, personal protective equipment, mask and gloves. There's a shortage everywhere, not just here, but obviously we're focused on here. And that will be one of his tasks, is to help us. And I would encourage citizens that if you have, particularly these N95 respirator that are used in particularly high exposure intensity with first responders, even in hospital situations, mask, gloves that you don't need. Perhaps you have a couple of boxes you've had of gloves for a while, to notify us. I've already had one contact this morning, and I directed them to Mr. Cox, who can then look at the need, get them to the proper agency.
With this second victim, I guess, the second person who tested positive for COVID-19 coronavirus, how much did that play in a role with this decision?
You know, it was interesting. It really is. It
kind of happened at the same time.
Yeah, it did. We were already in discussions about this. It's interesting. We were in discussions about the first steps that we took, call it phase one, before there was the first confirmed case in Washington County. We were in discussions about this before there was the second confirmed case. I would anticipate that if we follow the curve, and so far we have. We had one, 3 days later we had two. We will expect that that number will continue to double if we follow similar patterns. Mm-hmm. So it did play into it, but more that it just reinforced what we're expecting. So, okay.
So these measures are to flatten out these incidents?
To damp the curve, yes. The statistical information we're seeing says that math doesn't care whether it's dealing with oranges or viruses. Math is math. And statistically, this thing appears across a broad, broad spectrum, not just Bartlesville or Oklahoma, be doubling about every 3 days. One becomes two becomes four. So in anticipation of that, we really have reached the place that I was, as I said, Tom, yesterday, I was extremely reluctant to take another step. Yes, sir. It has been a struggle for me personally because I don't like it. But at some point, you have to take serious action. The question will always be, did we do enough? Did we do, too much, too soon, too late? We don't get to do this twice, I hope, so we'll not know those answers. But I try to think of examples people might identify with. If you've ever shot at a target that was moving, you don't shoot where it is, you shoot where it's going to be. You have to anticipate that. This is similar, except the target's invisible. And so you're shooting where you think it might be in 3 days, or whatever term, timeline you want to use. And by taking these actions, it at least allows us, I suppose, to have fewer targets, to bring this down where our medical community can deal with it in hopes that if we can flatten the curve, we have some of the, without doubt, best minds in this state, this nation, and the world working on this. It is a critical thing that everybody is focused on. Give them more time to find the treatments, to find the solutions, even to find the vaccines, but that cannot happen too quickly.
It's 9:44. You're listening to K1 at AM 1400 and FM 93.3. This is a very special edition of City Talk. We have Mayor Copeland and also City Manager Mike Bailey in studio here with us. Mike Bailey, should this declaration, this emergency declaration, be approved tonight, when does it sunset?
The intent is that it will go into effect immediately. Now, there's certain measures in here that will be delayed until 5 o'clock on Tuesday. That gives us time to notify the affected businesses. But it will be in effect until midnight on April 6th. Now, the question is, why that date? Well, that is the date of our next scheduled council meeting. So the intent is that this will go into effect and it will be reviewed on April 6th. If it's no longer necessary, I hope that's the case, but I hope for a lot of things, and I plan for other things. That if it's still necessary, the council will extend it. And so the intent, again, is that this is reviewed on a regular basis. If additional measures are necessary, it'll probably come from another section of the ordinance that we're adopting tonight. There's going to be two task forces that are formed. One of them is going to be focused on the current crisis and what measures are needed to mitigate that. We're going to bring in experts to that to help advise the mayor and I and the rest of the city council. And then there is a second task force that's focused on the future. It's going to be focused on the economic recovery. Yeah. And that's being formed through the Bartlesville Development Authority. So we have tried to take a really broad approach to this. How do we address what we have now, and how do we plan for the future as well?
And also to coordinate this, many our schools and everything else are going to look at April 6th. Whether they go back to school or there's a continuation, obviously we do not know. But that seems to be the what I'll call the reset date. And it also, you look at CDC guidelines for a 14-day period. So this gives us that 14 days. It puts us in coordination, in parallel with these other entities. Tom, what we're trying to do, and I mentioned briefly, I think, yesterday, is maintain a unity of communications rather than having, there's thousands of streams of information, and it can just overwhelm you. We would not want the city of Bartlesville to feed into that confusion and have better information on a more timely fashion to help simplify and keep this as understandable and that we can do. We can actually achieve our goal.
My understanding is that supply chains for consumer goods is running pretty well. And my understanding is also is that having a gross of toilet paper is not going to cure COVID-19.
I haven't figured out what that's going to cure, but somebody's well stocked. I have read the same stories. There is plenty of supply.
Mm-hmm.
The problem has been to readjust the system. It was designed under previous times a week ago That was previous times, the world we're living in right now,
yes,
to deliver to the end places, the grocery stores, the wherever, on a schedule that met their needs so that the shelves were stocked but not overstocked and they didn't go empty. And that system worked amazingly well. We take it for granted it's behind the scenes, but a 3 to 4 day supply. All of a sudden, that got totally knocked out of whack, and they're reworking that. Another interesting parallel, because so many public food locations are diminishing or actually closing, they don't need a lot of those supplies. So that is being redirected over into the channels to the places that need it. And I think that probably by the end of this week, that system balances out, and you don't need a gross of toilet paper.
Good, good. Because I've seen stores. I've been a lot of places this past week. I don't want to get into it, but I've been through many, many states during this, seeing different levels of how they're dealing with it. One thing was a constant. If you went down the paper goods aisle, you either saw nothing or you had, believe it or not, somebody chaining that off saying, here's two.
Yeah.
Here's two packages. Move along.
I saw a photo of police officers guarding toilet paper. It wasn't in Bartlesville, but it was a stack of toilet paper, and they actually had police officers there, and you're exactly
right.
Well,
guns and knives have been presented in some bigger stores. We're not going to say the name of the store in other states, and that was a delight, I mean, to witness. Mm-hmm. So that's not going to happen here. Most of the folks I've seen here have been pretty calm. A little heavy on the toilet paper business, so there's everybody. But everyone seems to be using common sense.
It's interesting, too. I was at Walmart yesterday and told my family it was an emergency run, which meant that they suddenly threw everything on. So while you're going, get this, get this. But as I was there, I was fascinated that for the first time in my life, to my memory, the PPE was starting to appear in public. So there were people with gloves on and masks on. I think that
I saw that this morning.
So, and it is an interesting thing. We've talked a lot about how this is going to change our culture, I think, long term. This is, while we believe that this disease will only be here for a brief period of time, whether that brief period is a month or 6 months, I think it'll change all of us forever.
I think we've learned a lot so far for the next one.
We have. I think on the positive, and it's a little early to focus on that, but I will tell you that we're already discussing it, what happens next? And Mike mentioned briefly, what about economic recovery? What can our city do to facilitate and help with that program and help people recover quicker and better? That'll be good for all of us. But also, what practices are we learning that we might have done better, changed? What about our chain of communication? How can we better do? And I think we'd already done great things. City Beat, I continually pound the drum for people to go to cityofbartlesville.org, sign up for City Beat. Kelly Wood was putting out once a week on City Beat. She's now putting out many times a day.
Three times.
Lots of information.
Multiple times a day.
And that is our effort to provide that centralized, unified communications that people have one place to go to. I tell people, you know, you can go to the radio station and you get that one source. Same thing with our city. And confusion, desire, fear over toilet paper, it really does not help anyone.
No.
It just drives the confusion. And what we don't need is 300 people trying to get on one aisle in the grocery store. That is not social distancing.
You're correct.
But fear can, and I think one of the professionals didn't call it fear. He used a different word.
He said an appropriate level of anxiety.
People are anxious.
And his point was is that that's not necessarily a bad thing. We do a lot to try to calm people because we don't want to panic. But he used the term exactly, an appropriate level of anxiety. He believed that reinforced the proper behavior in people during a crisis like that.
City Manager Bailey, how has business changed so far in the last few days and then moving forward at City Hall with people doing business?
It is. I should take
is window number three closed?
Window number three is closed, and along with one through five.
He's always nice when she takes my money.
It is a fascinating transformation that we're going through, and we're continuing to go through it. I'll meet with the directors. We're actually going to teleconference. This is new for us as well.
Okay.
We'll be doing those things on a regular basis so I can check in with them. But for citizens that are coming to City Hall, know that, frankly, there's no point to come to City Hall unless it's to drop payment off in a payment box.
Mm-hmm.
City Hall's by appointment only. And frankly, I haven't had any requests for appointments. I've had lots of phone calls and emails, but that's true too. Although I was there all weekend and nobody was there besides me. So
has that new software program that Lisa Beeman's been working on, is that helping out with the flow
great
of
timing.
Activity?
Great timing on that. We do still have some developers who haven't quite implemented that yet or aren't willing to implement that yet. But the vast majority of people are fine with going ahead and pulling their permits online. They schedule their inspections. Even our inspectors, they're not coming into the office anymore. They're working from their trucks. It has been a transformation. The hardest change for me personally is that I needed a real test case for telecommuting, and Elaine Baines is working from her home. And she is
still getting it done.
She is still getting it done. In fact, she probably regrets working from home because it was really easy for me to get a hold of her Sunday when I needed things for today. So poor Elaine is now a 7-day-a-week employee. But no, so that was a huge change for me, and I've just been telling the directors that this isn't over. We'll continue to change and to transform our organization to suit the needs right now. But it really has been very well accepted by the public. They're very understanding. We're grateful to them for that.
We got a smart public, that's for sure. I want to come to you, Mayor, put your businessman hat on for a second. What can you tell your fellow people in business about this 2 weeks that we're about to probably engage in? What advice do you have to keep them optimistic?
Well, I think there's several ways to look at it. First, I have to be honest. I fully anticipate there will be exceptions where, one person's crisis is another person's opportunity. And if you have toilet paper, it's a tremendous opportunity. We hype on that, but it's one of those curious oddities that we're seeing in this situation. But for most of us, I would not be surprised. Business is going to dip. It's something that we just have to accept. Now, can we use that? I have talked with, for instance, our community center, the same situation. This is a time that normally they would not do, but bring up if you had any heavy maintenance issues, if you need to replace those floor tiles or whatever, it's difficult to do when business is open. This may be a time that you can leverage the opportunity in anticipation. I continually say this will pass. I don't know when. I can't tell you if it's Thursday at 3:00 or it's August the 9th or May the 14th. Sooner than later is what we're planning for and hoping for. But in the meantime, you can utilize this. The federal government, outside our scope, the state government is talking about things to help alleviate, to mitigate. And we don't know what those are going to be. There are so many unknowns. But then again, people talk, we joke about it, going to the casino. Every day when a business owner turns the key in the lock, it's a gamble. Will we do X business? Will we cover cost? Will we have problems? So I think we can use this time to pivot and change the oil in the vehicles, do the floors, sanitize. Somebody told me the businesses smell prettier than they'd ever been in before because everybody is sanitizing. Hopefully, and there is a real human impact in this thing, Tom, people, real people, need their jobs. They have bills to pay. They have things that they need to handle. And it's a struggle. There's no question. And there's going to be an impact. We are not unaware of that. The challenge we have is what is the greater good? So we have this temporary dislocation to get to that and not have a larger problem. But I would tell business owners, yes, there's probably going to be a dip. There is going to be opportunities to do things you've been, I'm guilty. I'll do that later, and later never comes. Mm-hmm. This is the time to do that. Clean up your email, all those things. Have your people do the same. Learn, as Mike and I have talked, how can we make the city more efficient? How can you make your business more efficient? Use social media to reach out to your customers. It's a great time. I promise you, they're looking at social media.
Oh, I know they are.
And they're at home.
Yeah, they're grading it.
Yeah, so what a great time to reach out with them, and not to sell them a widget, but to communicate and share and build relationships for them. It's a time, have you cleaned your refrigerator coils? You're too busy. Well, this would be a great time to get down in the floor and clean that out and do all of those things around the house that seem to always fall off the bottom of the list. I guess adapt is what we're going to have to do. Hang on and plan for the recovery. Seriously, we don't know what or when, but we have always, historically, we've always had a recovery. Mm-hmm. We will have a recovery. We will come out of this in many ways stronger. But right now we have to deal with today.
Very good. Mike Bailey, if we can, let's go over what folks can expect from tonight's meeting with everything from seating arrangements
sure.
to everything else that's on the agenda.
Well, the seating arrangements will obviously be different. We are trying to provide for social distancing in the council chambers.
Mm-hmm. I look here. The reason you and I are sitting, we have to sit here or we can't be on the screen.
That's it. So notice we're on either edge of the screen, though. We're about as far apart as we could get.
My point is that council chambers are very similar. The equipment that we have, we can't put people in different rooms. It just doesn't serve the public. So some of these things are self-directing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. For anyone who comes tonight, there'll be a special meeting first. We'll talk about the election, delaying the election at that time. After that, we'll adjourn that meeting, and we will immediately move into the emergency meeting. The emergency meeting is where we will consider the proclamation and the ordinance. Action on those items will be, again, the mayor has the discretion under our municipal code and ordinances to declare a state of emergency, proclaim a state of emergency is the correct term. It will take the council to act on the ordinance. Those will be the two main actions that will be contemplated tonight. The public is allowed to comment, as always. We have citizens to be heard. However, we are going to limit the number of people that are in the council chambers to the seating that's available. Everyone else will try to provide a way for them to sign up, and they'll be called when it's their turn. But we're trying to limit this thing. We're taking it very seriously, just like it's being recommended. And I know we're running out of time, but one thing that I do want everybody to know is that we are not on our own making wild decisions here. Most of the guidance that we have at this point in time, there is some from the CDC, but they're not specific to local governments. The one area of guidance that we have is from President Trump. If you will look up his, I believe it was the pause for 15 days or whatever it is, it's all available online. In that is where the recommendations are, is that once a state experiences community spread of the disease, they're encouraged to close restaurants, bars, places of
medical
social gathering.
Medical professionals tell us we have, in fact, reached that stage.
And we confirmed that. So, yes. So again, one of those questions, why now? This is the big reason, is that we have reached that stage, and we are following the recommendation of the experts.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you for being in here today and to kind of dispel a lot of different things and bring some new information to light. And tonight we'll be bringing the City Council meeting to you live on the radio and on Facebook Live.
We appreciate that.
All right.